My guest today, Alex Leach of the newly formed Alex Leach Band. First album from Alex Leach Band as he begins his solo career. It's a great album. Put the whole band together. It just hums along. It's this great, good old hard drive and bluegrass for the most part. He has some slower songs. I love this sound. The name of the album is I'm the Happiest When I'm Moving from the Alex Leach Band. It's on Mountain Home Music. First, we're going to hear a favorite tune of mine from the album, The Turntable, which I just think tells the story so well of passing down memories and passing down music. We'll hear The Turntable, then we'll begin our discussion with Alex Leach. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great tune, The Turntable, which is from Alex Leach Band's brand new album, I'm Happiest When I'm Moving. And I'm so happy to have Alex, the author and singer of so many songs on that album, on the radio today. How are you, Alex?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing wonderful. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and
me
I want to thank you so much for sharing our music with everyone.
Well, I've fallen in love with so much of it, and you, I think we were talking the other day, and I told you my current favorite was The Turntable. I want to talk about that song, and so you allowed me to lead off with that one a little bit. It's a great tune. It's a great new way of looking at handing down tradition. But let's talk a little bit about the Alex Leach Band. This is the first album, I think, that I've gotten from you. I know people will know you from the Clinch Mountain Boys and all the work you do on WVX radio and just all the musicianship that you have. This is your first album, right, as the Alex Leach Band?
Yes, sir, Steve. This is our very first one. Of course, I had spent 7 years with Ralph Stanley II and the Clinch Mountain Boys, and in 2019 I decided to put my own band together, and we started putting all the members in, and we got Mr. Jim Lauderdale to come on board to produce our very first album.
Great.
And we were really excited about that, and Jim got us in contact with Mountain Home Music Company, and so we ended up going that direction, which was a great honor for us. And last March is when we started recording this album, right out a year ago, and so we ended up recording this with Jim in the studio and literally got it finished right before the pandemic hit. So we've been sitting on it for a little while, but we're so glad to get it out now and finally get the band rolling.
I'm glad you got it out. I remember if people follow Alex on social media, which is useful for a lot of things, you know, Alex was talking about, I've made this big decision, I'm going to form my own band, and you made it and went forward. There's a song on here that reminds me of what I think would have been your thoughts at the time. We may get to talk about that as far as what I think about the words in one of these tunes. But, yeah, you did it, man. Congratulations. It's a great band.
Well, thank you so much. That's something I've wanted to do for many years. And, you know, for many years I've been a side man and loved every minute of it. And I've done a lot of writing, and my wife does a lot of songwriting as well. And we thought that that it was about time to get out there and get some of our own music out and see where it goes.
And your wife, I want to talk about all the members of the band. But your wife has a beautiful voice. Miranda co-wrote what I have is like two songs. She has co-writing credits, and then she does some lead vocals and some harmony vocals. What a beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah. She does such a great job. She's always loved singing, and she moved down here about 5 years ago, and she's from upstate New York, and so now we've made her into an East Tennessee gal, and so we're loving every minute of that, and she does a great job at singing, and we call her the band mom a lot of times. She keeps all the guys in line, including myself, so it's a good fit.
Let's before, because I will forget, and I want to give them credit. Let's talk a little bit about the members of this band that you've assembled. You have guests on here, but what you would consider to be your band, the Alex Leach Band. Let's talk about some of those members on this album so we don't leave them behind, because they should get credit too.
Exactly. They do such a great job. We've got Mr. Joshua Gooding. He does a lot of singing in the band and plays the mandolin. He's originally from California and now makes his home in East Tennessee as well. And he does a wonderful job on all sorts of great things. And we also have J.T. Coleman, who plays the bass, and he lives about 20 minutes from me. He lives right up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and he really loves not only bluegrass but all sorts of music. And he, like I say, does a great job holding us together on that bass. And, of course, we have Brandon Mazur. He's also from upstate New York, and he does a great job on the five-string banjo and does some vocals every now and then. And he's a big Stanley Brother fan, so
boy,
he kind of puts that.
Does is he ever? He nails some of these, and the instrumental song on here, which is help me with the name of the instrumental. I'm having trouble reading my notes.
Oh, the James Russell Ratt.
Yeah, boy, he's just singing Ralph Spanjo on that one.
Oh yeah, he's a big Stanley fan.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much, and that's a song that Josh, our mandolin player, wrote. Yeah. And of course, we got a fellow that I traveled in the Clinch Mountain Boys with for many years, one of my favorite fiddle players, Mr. John Rigsby, to come in as a guest and play on just about all of the tracks as well. So
we're
glad about that.
It's great. It must be heck to, because when I read through the liner notes, of course, great that you've got Jim Lauderdale. You couldn't have asked for a better hand over what you're doing and producing all of this with all the experience that he has as a songwriter, singer of all kinds of great music. So that was great.
He really has done so much for us, and I've known him since I was about 9 or 10 years old, back when I first started DJing on WDVX. One day, it was a Sunday afternoon, and he had just released the album with him and Ralph.
Yeah.
And so I was playing it on the radio on a Sunday afternoon, and lo and behold, he calls me while he's going through the area. And he's just been a great friend to the radio station, and I've known him for a long time, and he just stepped on board to produce this album for us, and we couldn't be any happier.
That's
sure.
Great. Yeah, him and Ralph did some good stuff together. Some really good
yes,
stuff.
For sure.
And then Jim does his own bluegrass, and that's great. Yeah, just think about it. Of course, everybody had a weird year, and we're hoping to come out of it, and springtime looks to be peeking at us down the road. But, so a year ago, you've got everything laid down, and now it's been released. It's on Mountain Home. Thanks for mentioning that. I was going to get to that, but I always want to give credit where credit's due, and Ty Gilpin gives me more good stuff. I say this to him all the time. He gets embarrassed about it, but Ty Gilpin keeps me in the right track to find all the good music that they're putting out. So, give him
that's great. He, old Ty, he's a dandy too, and everybody there at Mountain Home just do a tremendous job at getting the music out, and we're mighty honored to get to work with them.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the songs. We played Turntable as we opened. The audience heard it. That album, you and I, Alex, were talking the other day. That album, and that song, The Turntable, is... you describe it. It's another way of handing down the tradition of music, which I know is very vital to you and the records and the LPs and whatnot. But help me shed a little light on that song. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. You know, when I was growing up, I had my grandfather. I called him Paps. He got me a turntable and showed me how to put the records on. And I would set up on his little workbench in the basement when I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And he would give me record after record, and I would sit there for hours listening to the music. And I kind of had him in mind on that, and I also have another grandfather that's still living now, and he was the same way. He really loved showing me a lot of the music he grew up with. And so I kind of had that in mind when I wrote that song, and we were coming back from a bluegrass cruise a couple of years ago, and we were sitting on the plane, and I just kind of had a little melody come in my head, and I thought, well, I'm going to see where this goes. So it kind of wound up being a little tribute to my family and what all they have taught me, you know, about the music. And so we just tried to put it into words and also mentioned a lot of the, you know, first generation bluegrass artists as well. We're really proud of the way it came out.
It brings back a lot of memories to me because I grew up with turntables and all those records that you have. And they contain all of this music and all of this great feeling, and I think CDs being just so less, you know, it's hard to hurt a CD unless you break it. But LPs were like, oh, keep it, you know, try to keep it all protected because it's got all those great sounds in there, and if you hold on to them and don't beat them up too much, you can listen to them for generations. And is there something magic about putting an LP on a thing, this big old black piece of vinyl, and you see the cuts in it for different songs, you know which ones you've listened to the most. So many musicians that we know learned by picking up the needle and putting it back and putting it back and putting it back, learning all those licks. But there's something about those turntables and the LPs that just touched me so much.
Yes, me too. I always loved the sound of a record. It just seems like it just has a whole different warm sound, you know, you get out of it. And I still collect records, and I have a whole house full and room full of them.
Oh,
and
I know.
I still love still love them turntables and playing the music on that. It just gives you a whole different feeling, it seems like.
It really does. It's like you sit down, you settle into the sound. You put it down, you put it on, you got to, where the CD, you put it on, plays for an hour, but you got to turn the record over. So you put it on and you sit down, you get kind of comfortable listening to it, and it's just a whole different experience. CDs are great. I'm glad I got them. Thank you, Mountain Home and Ty, for sending me this one from Alex Leach Band. I love it. I've played it on the show for weeks now. But there's something about that. It's not just old. It's just not that we're old times. We don't talk about old times all the time. But there's something about that experience of having this big picture and all these notes that are written on it. And you take this thing out of the sleeve and you try to be careful so you don't damage it. And of course, you know that being an on-air person yourself, you probably still play them and try to be careful, put them back so they don't get scratched.
Exactly. That's for sure. I love them records, and I still play a lot of my vinyl on the radio as well. And like I say, it just has a certain sound about it that I just can't seem to get enough of.
No, I agree with you. Listen, the title cut, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but the title cut on this, there's a lot of great, there's a lot of, let me just try to do this, and I don't need your help on this, but this is my interpretations of these things. There's so many good, upbeat, good bluegrass, even it's all good bluegrass, but even the Golden Rule, which is, it has a great taste to it, but it's a beautiful song, but there's a lot of that good, up, you know, driving kind of bluegrass that you're used to and that you've been playing. And even, let's talk about a little bit about the Golden Rule. We've talked about that before off the air, but that's a nice, kicks off well, and it has a great message to it.
It really does. I've always loved that song. Speaking of records, I came up with that song off of an old record from the Bluegrass Tar Heels. Mr. James Randolph used to play in that band in South Carolina, and I love their albums. He's written some wonderful songs, and that one there has always stuck out to me, and it came out in the early 70s on one of their albums, and I've always wanted to record that, and just waiting for the right time, and it just has such a good message to it and a good drive to it at the
same
time.
It really does. Yeah, it does.
So we wanted to try to capture as close as we could, you know, the way that James Randolph and those guys recorded that, and I don't think it's been heard much at all in many years, so we decided to put that one on there, and I just think it's a beautiful song.
I'm talking to Alex Leach. Alex, when we talked the other day, I told you what some of my favorites were, and as I listen, I come alive when the Golden Rule comes on again. I think that maybe that's shifting towards one of my favorite tunes, and I'll put it back in the show. It doesn't have to be one that you and I specifically focus on, but there's something about that song. It just it's got that great tempo, and then it sneaks that good message in there too about the Golden Rule. You do it so well.
Well, thank you so much, and I always love the break that our mandolin player Josh puts in there too. I remember when we were recording that in the studio, he came up with this wonderful break, and I said, man, where did you come up with that? And he said, well, on the way to the studio today, I was listening to Jim and Jesse's Border Ride, and he said, I thought I could maybe put a little bit of that in there. So I said, that's a perfect fit.
It is a perfect fit. We'll get through a lot of these as we go, but as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Miranda has contributed to some songs, and she sings a lot of great harmony. And then you kind of trade back and forth on some songs. And I'm thinking about looking down the list here because I want to maybe save Ellen for as we're heading out. But Take Me Back. That's you singing, and that's her singing back. And I have to tell you, the ending of it, I keep thinking what actually resolved, what actually happened on Take Me Back, I can't really tell, but boy, just let's talk for a minute about her singing and your singing back and forth. It's a great song, but that's a beautiful song.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I think we go hiking a lot, and we go to Norris Dam State Park, and a lot of times we'll pick us out a picnic table and sit down and see if we have anything we can write about. And we had just got done writing an up-tempo song that day, and then we thought, well, let's write something a little bit more slower and a little bit, you know, more meaningful. And so we started just writing verse after verse and didn't really know where it was going to go. And it kind of starts out, you know, as like a man really missing the love of his life. She's left him and all. And then by the end, it kind of has a twist.
It does have a twist. And I don't want you to explain it because I want people to listen. Because, you know, it could go a couple different ways.
Exactly.
That's
what we were thinking. We kind of left it open to see what would happen at the end. So that's one to listen to.
And I love it.
And I see if you can guess what happens.
And you can come back and listen again and maybe guess another way. I mean,
exactly.
And you two, both of you sing so well together. And of course, it's great that you're able to do that. There are other songs we're going to talk about as we get out of here. We're gonna hit one more. I think where you and Miranda are involved. But it's nice. I mean, it's a great sound. And you being in with the Clinch Mountain boys for so long, you must be really fine tuned to harmonies.
Oh, I love the harmonies, that's for sure. And we love sitting around at the house. Miranda and I will work out a lot of harmonies, and then when the guys come in, we'll add a third part to it and work things out. And that's one thing I really love to do. The harmony really means a lot to me. And, of course, the music's important, but those harmony vocals really have a lot to do with it as well.
It's boy, it's nice and tight. I and people listening, and you know what I'm talking about when tight vocals. You can sing great, but unless they're all hooked together and fit so well, it doesn't sound so great. But you've got everything ironed out just well, and very well, I should say. I do want to let's get to the title cut of the album. You have told us about Turntable, which we started off with. Let's talk about the title cut. I'm Happiest When I'm Moving. That's a nice, happy kind of song. And I think so many people like you, Alex, who are on the road, I think that's not an uncommon feeling about it's about being on the road, not necessarily about being on the road. But with that, I'll let you introduce that song.
That sounds great, Steve. Yeah, this is a song when Jim Lauderdale came on to produce. I said, well, I would love to record one of your songs, you know. And he said, well, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. And, I mean, he was just so easy to work with. But there's so many Jim Lauderdale songs that I love. And this song came from one of his earlier albums from probably 20 years or so ago. And it was more of an Americana-style song, and kind of had an old dreamy sound about it, the way Jim recorded it with most of his, you know, electric instruments and all. So I thought, well, let's move a thing or two around on this and see if we can get a good arrangement to fit our band. And so we did it, and Jim listened to it there the way we arranged it, and he said that would be wonderful. Let's put it down. And so we ended up putting that one down there, and we liked it so much, and it kind of described how glad we are when we're on the road traveling. So we just decided to name the album that. And of course, with the whole pandemic and all, we've been off the road for a long time. So when the album came out on the 26th of March, we happened to be down in Florida. It was one of our first trips, so it just all was fitting.
And the album cover, and that is the title. I'm talking to Alex Leach about the first Alex Leach Band album. I'm the Happiest When I'm Moving. The album cover has the band out in front of a bus.
That's it.
So,
and then that's two of them. And Miss Miranda Joe, she designed that layout for us on that, and I thought she'd done a really good job. And we decided to put the VW microbus there on the front and kind of give it that look. And we were just so glad the way it turned out.
You're all even, you know, color coordinated with some of your floral clothing that you're wearing. It's
exactly.
Nice.
that's another one we got to thank Miranda on.
Yeah, I bet you. I was gonna say, I bet I know whose touch that was.
She put us all in line on that.
Well, let's with that nice intro, we will play the title cut from I'm the Happiest When I'm Moving. And this is the Alex Leach Band. We're talking to Alex, and we're going to play that song. We'll come back and chat with Alex some more because I'm enjoying this a lot. So let's play right now the title cut, I'm the Happiest When I'm Moving. So give a listen. We'll be right back. All right, Alex Leach, the audience just heard I'm Happiest When I'm Moving, which is the title cut from the new album on Mountain Home. And I enjoyed that. The very first cut also, Take the Long Way Home on the album, it's another one of those kind of meandering stories and one of those movement stories. And I do find this a lot with working bands. That's kind of what you live, and it's kind of what you experience, and it's kind of what you relate to in some songs that you choose to record or write that you guys should be. Now, you haven't been for the last year, but you should always be moving, and you're probably happy when you're moving on the way to gigs and all that stuff, but it's kind of part of your life.
Exactly. It really is. It's all I've ever wanted to do. When I first heard bluegrass music when I was about 4 or 5 years old, by the way of listening on the turntable and that sort of thing. It just it done something to me, and it was something that I always wanted to do and play bluegrass and acoustic music and this and that. It just it really stuck with me, and I've been doing it pretty much ever since then. And it really makes us feel good when we get to travel and share our music with everyone and meet all the fine folks that we get to meet out on the road. And it's a good feeling all over.
You and the whole album, by the way, does give you that feeling. I put these things in the car. I tell people this all the time, that I will never get rid of this car. It's 11 years old. I'll never get rid of it because I've got 6 CD players in it, changers in it, so I can listen and listen and listen and re-listen. That's what I do all the time. So I want to hear this and really want to get it inside of me. So this is such a fun album. They'll get all the tradition. People that buy it and listen to it will hear all the tradition. They'll hear the new things that you bring into it. And I just think it's such an enjoyable drive around and listen to it. It's a great feeling. So I think that's what you're trying to put forward. By the way, you mentioned earlier that you're 9 years old on the radio and Jim Lauderdale. I didn't want to let that drop, but fill that in just a little bit, because that's not something I've ever heard of.
Right. Well, it was kind of crazy how it happened. I was really getting into bluegrass, and it just so happened a radio station started up in Clinton, Tennessee, which is 20 minutes from where I live, and they started out in a 14-foot camper in a campground, and that's where they started, and I listened just every day, and I would have CD players and microphones in my grandparents' basements, and I would pretend to be DJing down there all the time. As soon as I would get in from school, I would go down and pretend like I was doing a show. So eventually my papa took me down to the radio station and let me meet the station manager, who was on the air that day, Mr. Tony Lawson. And we got to talking for a little bit, and he said, "Well, how would you like to come in and maybe co-host a show with me sometime?" So, of course, I was
how cool is that? How cool is that? And Tony has a nice note on the liner notes too. But that must have been an amazing feeling.
It really was. And after I done that, I went in a few weeks after that on a Sunday afternoon. And after I got done, it wasn't a few weeks later that he called, and he said, "Well, what do you think about just starting to do the Bluegrass Special every Tuesday night?" If that works out. So, I was all in, and I was 9 years old at the time, too. So, every Tuesday night, I would be going down to do the show, and I still do it to this day, actually. So, I've been on there for 22, 23 years.
Holy cow.
Still going with it, and like I say, Jim Lauderdale has been a really good friend of the radio station, too, all during that time. And it's hard to believe to look back and actually think that I was 9 when all that started out.
That's amazing. I mean, good for you. I'm going to steal from Jim his quote on Inside the Record here, and I don't think he'll care, but let me just read this. This is from Jim Lauderdale, the producer of the Alex Leach Band's new album, I'm Happiest When I'm Moving, and also phenomenally well-known, successful songwriter, singer, and all kinds of different music. I'm going to read this, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
While being steeped in bluegrass, Alex Leach already has one foot in the future, making him one of the most talented musicians I've ever met, Jim Lauderdale. That says a lot. He's not just saying that you're the singer, that you're the writer. He puts you as one of the most talented musicians he's ever met. Jim's met a lot of musicians.
Goodness gracious. I couldn't believe he said that. He's just such a nice guy and great to work with, and I love talking about music with Jim. And not only bluegrass, but, I've got a lot of influences from, popular music of the 50s and 60s and country music and just all sorts of different things. But it's great to talk to Jim about it and come up with ideas and how to put different influences into what we're doing. And he's just been such a great help to us and a great friend to us, for sure.
You mentioned in your notes inside the record, which I appreciate all these little bits of information, you just mentioned your influences, soul music ranging from Howlin' Wolf to Curtis Mayfield. That was nice to read, because I thought, well, when you're someone at 9 years old that you're doing a bluegrass show on the radio and your whole life you're spending, that I thought was just an amazing add-in for you. Howlin' Wolf, Curtis Mayfield, blues and rhythm and blues. It's great to have all that stuff come into you, because it inspires you, or somehow it'll come back out and make your sound original, just like Bill Monroe did when he brought on all the different sounds that he was hearing, including some blues sounds. And so you listen to those things, and they'll come back out through your own unique sound, which I think you, right now you have.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. I know, of course, we love playing bluegrass and all, but, of course, it, just about once a week, Miranda and I will go over to my grandparents' house, and we'll have music trivia night a lot of times. We'll sit out and put on some various oldies or rhythm and blues and see who all can guess the right artist, and we have a good time. I listened to a lot of that music growing up, too, you know, anywhere from soul music over to, you know, Beach Boys and a lot of that music. It's just, it's good. all good in my book.
Good music. So. Eddie Edcock told me once on the show that his dad told him there's two kinds of music, bad music and good music. And that's all.
that's exactly right.
And I think I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a good – hey, on the picture inside, are you guys singing a song or just posing?
That was, we were actually singing a song.
I believe that was
taken when we were doing our music video, and we were right in the middle of singing. I believe it was Take the Long Way Home.
Okay.
What we were doing at that time. So that was a real shot.
Okay. It looked real. It looked like you were all playing. Listen, I think in the time that you formed your own band, and of course until the time that this was recorded and released, you mentioned your papaw. And I think I have this right, Alex, that he passed away not that long ago.
Exactly. He did. Scobie Asbury was his name, and he took me to a lot of the festivals when I was young, and he would always take me to the radio station every Tuesday night. He used to work. He was a coal miner, and he would work from 5 o'clock in the morning till 4 or 5 in the evening, and then as soon as he got in, he'd be on Tuesday nights, be ready to go to the radio station, and he just influenced me so much, and I was just such a lucky young fella to get to have him in my life.
Definitely
miss him a lot, and he really showed me a lot of great things about the outdoors and about music and just about how to be a decent person, for sure.
Yeah, you made a lot of, and social media has a lot of ills. It has a lot of good things. There's a lot of things that go haywire, but Alex, you put a lot of nice sentiment into the passing and the memories of your papaw and the places where people could see him. And I read them all, and I thought, man, what a great memory. What a great life, and what a great memory for you.
Well, thank you so much. He, like I say, he was a really big part of my life, that's for sure.
You also dedicate this to Steve Gulley, who died, I think, subsequent to papaw dying. That was not that long ago, and very dramatic, quick. It was so quick, I think people can't believe it happened.
Yes, we were not expecting that at all. He was literally just at our house about a month or month and a half before he found out that he was sick and all. And we were doing some radio drops for the fundraiser for the radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat in his truck that day. He played me some songs that him and Tim Stafford had just recorded. And then I played him some of the songs that we had just recorded as well. And everything seemed just so perfect and fine.
What a shock.
He's another one that, anytime I needed advice in the music business, I could call Steve, and he was always right there to help, and he was a dear friend as well, and it was just such a shock when we found out about that, and, we sure miss Steve. He was just a great friend to bluegrass and to everybody. I don't think he ever had a single enemy.
You know, and the album now has come out that you mentioned with Tim Stafford and Steve Gulley. That's been released now, but the last statement you made, I found 100% correct. Nobody has ever said, and not on the air, not off the air, nowhere have they ever said an ill word about Steve Gulley.
Exactly. Such a great man.
And that says a lot, man. When people don't have to say good things about you, and they do, that says a lot.
It really does. He is. Those are few and far between, but he was definitely one of them.
They really are. Alex, I'm enjoying this so much. I don't want to take up. I know you're busy, but I want you to, let's make no doubt about it, the Come Back to Me or Take Me Back song is well done and done in a way that's ambivalent so that everybody can interpret it many times. There's no doubt about what's going on in Ellen.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Now, that one right there, that's about as straightforward as it comes. And on Ellen, a friend of ours from Virginia, Mr. Chris Burton, wrote this song and sent it to us about a year and a half ago. And he said, I've kind of got a like a prequel to Poor Ellen Smith.
Exactly.
I'd like to send it and see what you think. And I fell in love with it. And we thought, yeah, we couldn't have a bluegrass album or any sort of album without somebody – dying in the thong or getting killed. That's about Bluegrass 101.
It is. It is, and everybody knows that. And this one is like, it's just like from the get-go. There's bad things going on, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse, and it doesn't end any better. It's like, it's just a, you know, well, I'm not going to tell people how it ends, but it's a great song. And, yeah, it's right. This is the one that touches all those bases that we need to have on every, not to be trite about it, but bluegrass does have that sentiment and those songs about, you know, things happening and people dying in bad ways sometimes.
Exactly. And I always tell people on the stage when we get ready to do this song, I say that, get ready, because this song starts out mighty lonesome and it gets a little more mournful along the way. And, of course, the way I sing it, it's plumb pitiful by the end of it.
It does. There's not a bright moment in it. There's not a bright moment in it, but it's a great song. You do a great job. Alex, this whole album is so great. And please say hello to Miranda. Tell her how much I appreciate her contributions on the co-writes. And her singing is just as clear as a bell.
I'll sure tell her that, and I can't thank you enough, Steve, for doing this. I sure am enjoying it, too.
I am, too, man.
Thank you so much for all the kind words on this album. We're just so excited about it and appreciate you so much for spreading the word and spreading the music on it.
I'm glad to finally get to talk to you, Alex. I'm very happy about this day. I've been looking forward to this for a while. I'm going to say goodbye to Alex Leach because he's got other things to do, but we've been talking about the first album from the Alex Leach Band. There's going to be more. The album is I'm the Happiest When I'm Moving. It's on Mountain Home. And we're going to leave you with the song Ellen to leave you on an upbeat song. It's a great song. But, Alex, man, thanks so much. Hopefully things will loosen up and we can all get about and start about finding some stages and some nice chairs and some nice grassy lawns to sit in and listen to live music again and be safe about it.
Exactly. We're sure looking forward to that, and I think we're finally starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can't wait to see everybody back out on the road.
It feels like it.
Exactly. Yeah. And once again, thank you so much for that. And if anybody would like to check us out, of course, they can go to alexleachband.com.
Yes.
You can email
us
or check anything out on there, and we just can't wait to get back out and see everyone real soon.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I always do websites. I forgot. All right, Alex Leach, I'm going to let you go. And this is from the new Alex Leach Band album. Fine album, Up and Down. We could go all day talking about it. We're going to end with Ellen. I'm going to let Alex go back to business.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much.
See you, man. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.